Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Let your journey begin in the completely redesigned 2025 Equinox from Armin Chevy. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. So obviously our local squad's not involved in the NBA and NHL playoffs, but they've both been really good. NBA's been on fire the last couple days. The Knicks are up 2-0 on the Celtics, and we asked you this question. Who would you rather see win that series? They are two classic Philadelphia sports rivals, the Celtics and the Knicks. Who would you rather see win? Celtics or Knicks, you can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. All right, let's talk some Eagles football with our next guest. I got to imagine he is really pumped up to know that Dallas Goedert remains a Bird. You can follow Ross Tucker's work, of course, with the Ross Tucker Football Report, the whole deal, everything at Ross Tucker NFL, and he joins us right now. Good morning, Ross.
Good morning, guys. Been a while since I heard people talk about gleeking.
Yeah. Well,
can you gleek?
I was never a good gleeker.
Yeah.
I remember getting gleeked on when
Me
I was
too,
like
buddy.
In eighth or ninth grade and I had to fight the guy.
People thought it was hilarious to gleek on people. It's like,
yeah, no, that's not okay. That's like spitting on me. I'm not okay
exactly.
with it.
Exactly. Right.
Ross.
Did it get on you? Like, did it actually get on your person?
Some of it, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was one of the football guys two years older than me messed with me.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Ross, forget the big old football guys that are the tough guys, and you have a right to hit them back. Did you ever stuff a guy in the locker?
I did not.
I protected a kid.
It's so funny, Joe. I was getting stuffed in a trash can.
Good for you.
And I stuffed the guy in the trash can instead.
How old were you, John?
I was in ninth grade.
Good for you.
Yeah,
that's good.
You know what, Joe? In all sincerity, like John, I was the opposite. I was like the protector of the people that were getting picked. I'm not just saying that because I'm on the radio. Yeah. The truth is, if you like are really confident or successful or whatever, you're not picking on weaker or smaller kids.
You're right.
It's the people that are insecure that are doing that.
You're
the people that are secure, like John and I, were like, what the heck are you doing? Get off of them. You know what I mean? Like,
no, that's good work. Yeah, you're right. I admire both of you for handling it that way. All right, Russ, let's get to the Goedert thing. What a great development yesterday for the Eagles, right?
Gigantic. It was surprising. It makes me play out the whole offseason a little bit differently because I have almost never heard an owner, a head coach, and a general manager talk about a player the way they were talking about Dallas.
Yeah.
And then he's still on the team.
You know why, Russ? I was saying it then, and I feel confident of it now. It was a strategy.
1,000%.
It was a 1,000%.
Yeah. But Joe, I didn't know that then.
No, we speculated it might be the case, and I feel exceedingly confident now it was the case all along.
Right.
Didn't mean that they knew it would work out, but their strategy was to make sure Goddard really understood through the Lurie, Howie, and Sirianni public comments that they meant business and they would move on, and I think that little bit may have helped, obviously, convince Goddard
it,
that...
It was almost, you know what it was, Joe? It was almost like... Methinks they doth protest too much. You know, like for all three of them to be like,
yep.
Yeah, you know, like he's been good, but he's on the roster now. Yeah, we'll just have to see what happens. Like it was good. I mean, from that standpoint, it was good. And from the Eagles standpoint, it's gigantic because, first of all, I still believe he's a top five tight end in the NFL.
You guys
have already talked about the injuries, but man, you think about the playoffs and how much of a force he was. That he helps them become a dominant team. And the reality is, and we can talk about this maybe next week or whatever, but they have a much tougher schedule this year. And looking at their roster, when's the last time a team won the Super Bowl, or let alone repeated as Super Bowl champs, with a glaring hole on their roster going into the season, which is exactly what they would have had if they traded Dallas. So after the draft where they didn't get a guy and he didn't get drafted, that's when I started to think they got to bring him back. They got to figure this out, because you can't go into a season trying to repeat as Super Bowl champs with an important position where you clearly just have backups.
Is Dallas happy with this? Like, doesn't it feel like the Eagles were a bit heavy-handed with it all?
Well, so John, this is where you and I come into play as the former players, and we don't really care for this, right? Like, he was supposed to make whatever it was, 14.
Yeah.
Now it's making 10. And I'm actually okay with the concept of a pay cut. I don't love it, but I totally get it. I just want everybody to remember this when guys hold out for more money. Now, that almost never happens with the Eagles because they're so proactive. They're the most proactive organization in the NFL. But he was under contract. He's a good player. He's a big reason why they won the Super Bowl. And they still asked him to take less money. I think he probably did the right thing.
He was under contract for 14-point-something million dollars. They said, we don't want to pay you what you are under contract to receive. And so now he has agreed to, okay, I'll play
but
for
none
10
of the fan,
million.
But nobody listening cares, John. That's you and I as former players. People listening are like, cry me a river, dude. I'm driving to my job right now. Yeah. $10 million? I'll do anything for the Eagles for $10 million. So, and I get that. I would just say, I think Dallas looked at it, and remember this, right? Who would Dallas be more valuable to than the Eagles?
Yeah,
I mean, there are other teams that could do tight ends, but clearly, you know, the Bears wanted the kid from Michigan. The Colts drafted Tyler Warren from Penn State. Like, they got the guys that they wanted. It didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me to think that someone else would value Goddard to the point where they would trade a draft pick for the right to pay Dallas a lot more than the Eagles are willing to pay him. That doesn't make sense.
Well, clearly,
right?
Clearly, Ross, the league did not value him that much, because had they, the Eagles would have traded him for something else. But I mean, Ross, I am struck by, and one thing about sports is fit matters. All four main sports, how the parts fit together matters. It's part of why Aaron McKee was successful next to Allen Iverson. It fit. Eric Snow fit next to AI. He could defend the bigger guards. He was a great steadying force with AI doing all the AI stuff. He was a great defender. The bottom line is Goddard fits the Hurts-Saquon thing. He fits the way they run their offense.
1,000%. And the other thing, too, is a lot of these other teams already have their tight ends, right? Like, you go through it, and by the way, all these guys are now making more money than Dallas this year, but Cole Kmet in Chicago, then they drafted the guy, Freiermuth with the Steelers, Dalton Schultz with the Texans. The point is there's not like that many teams that go into the draft and they're like, hey, we really need a starting tight end. We're going to pay him $15 million a year and give up a draft choice to get him. And that's the other thing that's interesting, right? I would love to know, and we'll never find out, I would love to know what draft choice it would have taken for the Eagles to do it. Because they wouldn't have given up for a seventh or a sixth, I don't think. I think it would have had to been something significant. And I think deep down,
they probably always wanted
it to turn out this way.
Absolutely agree. Russ, let's get some other stuff. It's 94 WIP, HD1 Philadelphia, as we broadcast from the Taste of Cake studio. Russ Tucker with us here. So, Russ, our first time talking to you since the draft. We'll do some draft stuff, but let me combine it right now with a free agent, and that's the safety Justin Simmons. I am surprised that there is increased chatter that Justin Simmons to the Eagles could happen when you consider the Eagles just drafted a safety in the second round. But we also know Mukuba can play the slot. You know, there's variants of what they could do with Cooper DeJean. I'm a little surprised that they could still go veteran for safety and not a guy that's going to be a veteran minimum. What do you make of the Justin Simmons situation and how it fits, you know, Mukuba and others there at the safety spot?
Well, I would tend to agree. I don't think that they're going to sign him until after, like, OTAs and the one minicamp. Now, they don't do as much stuff as they used to do or we used to do, but I still think that they would like to have Sydney and Mukuba get those reps.
Yes. Who do you think wins that? Those two.
Well, I guess here's how I would describe that, Joe. The fact that they took Mukuba probably says something about how they feel about Sydney.
I agree. Look, every time I see Sydney, if they love Sydney,
they wouldn't have taken Mukuba.
Yep.
Now maybe Sydney surprises them. Maybe they like Sydney. But if they loved Sydney, like if they knew he was going to be the guy, they would not have taken Mukuba in the second round.
And it sounds like your point is if at some point in this offseason, maybe early training camp, but maybe sooner, if Vic Fangio determines that neither Sydney Brown or Mukuba are bringing it as starters, then you sign Justin Simmons. Is that kind of your way of framing it?
That's right. Well, there's no reason. They don't need – Simmons was in Vic's defense for a while. They don't need Simmons to be getting these OTA and minicamp reps, right? Let's let Mukuba and Sydney get as many reps as they can, see how well they're picking things up, and if they're still concerned, I don't think Howie would hesitate to pull the trigger after minicamp and OTAs. Sometimes they let it go into the first week or two of training camp or even the first preseason game before they pull the trigger because they've been very clear that they realize financially they need young guys to play. They want young guys to play. They want one of those guys to be good enough. And listen, I think Justin Simmons used to be a terrific player. If the NFL thought he was still a terrific player, he would be on another team right now, right? Like the NFL is basically saying, okay, yeah, he's solid, but he's not really what he used to be.
Ross, is Jahyd Campbell as good as so many people are saying he is? When he's healthy, would he have been a top 10-ish guy? Did the Eagles get a dude when healthy that's going to simply outperform being the 31st pick in a draft?
Well, I think he's definitely like a top 15 guy. I see some of the comparisons people are making with him. Like, you know, I've seen people say he's like Micah Parsons. He's not like Micah Parsons. I mean, and maybe he can be physically, but he hasn't shown that. I mean, you know, I watched some of his edge rusher reps. I think he's got potential there, but he has not shown that he can be one of these guys that some of these other guys, you know, that they're comparing him to. Even I think Howie's point was there are, you know, Penn State has shown with Abdul Carter and Micah Parsons that you can take guys, you know, that are off the ball backers, have them rush, and they can give you value there. I don't think he was saying he's as good as those guys right now. But also, I mean, he's had a knee surgery. He's had both shoulders operated on. And so this is a real thing in the NFL. It's called medical competitive advantage, right? Everybody was scared off by Landon Dickerson. The Eagles trusted their medical people who said, no, we think he's going to be okay. Like, we, you know, yes, he had some misfortune in college, but we think he'll be okay. To get Landon Dickerson where they got him, that is a huge advantage for the Eagles. They believe they're doing it again with Jahad Campbell. A lot of teams around the NFL disagree. We will see ultimately who's right. I think the other teams would tell you that the Eagles are in a position where they can take those chances more so than a team drafting in the top 10, top 15.
Sure.
Their thought is, we're not taking that chance. Because the interesting thing is, you know, I've had these conversations with Eagles. I know, you know, like, for example, Alex Anzalone, right, who's from my hometown, why missing, and he plays for the Lions now. Really good player, captain, linebacker. He had several shoulder injuries in college, and the Eagles were not real interested in him. That was my understanding, just because of the injury history. So they must feel better about it with Jahad than they did with Anzalone.
We've had a lot of talk about the defensive side of things because we went defense for the first five picks, but the offensive side of the football, we've got OTAs going on. How is the offense going to look different with Kevin Petullo at the helm calling the plays, Ross?
You know, we have no idea, and that is to the Eagles' advantage. I would imagine he takes some of the Steichen stuff because he's been there for it. He takes some of the things that went well last year with Kellen Moore and uses some of that. But one of the advantages of Petullo being the play caller is that none of the Eagles' opponents have any track record, right? So every one of these teams, certainly every defensive coordinator, they have a book on Kellen Moore. They have a book on Shane Steichen. They've studied these guys' tendencies. What do they like to call in the red area? What do they like to call on third and short? They have a book on these guys. There's no book on Kevin Petullo. So, by the way, in preseason, when I'm calling the games on TV, they're not going to show anything. Right. I mean, they're going to show less. They're only going to do stuff that they did last year with Kellen because they don't want anyone to have any tips on how Petullo might be different. And then that first game, and we'll find out next Wednesday night who that first game will be. That first game, they're not really going to have any track record of what Petullo likes in certain situations. That D coordinator, whether it's the Commanders or maybe it's the Lions or whoever, they're going to be guessing. So that's an advantage for the Eagles the first couple games of the season that sure. Petullo has no track record. The flip side of that is he's never done it before. So you get the pros of they don't really know what's coming, but the cons are, you know, no matter how much they practice it, it's a little bit different when you're doing it live in a real game.
Hey, Ross, great stuff, man. Love having you on the program. Stay well. Get ready for the next time we play beer pong because the result's going to be different.
That would be awesome. Can I tell you what's deep?
Well, yeah.
Ooh.
Lou Malnati's pizza.
Really?
Oh, is it deep dish?
Deep dish.
What's the other one in Chicago?
Uno's?
No. There's two big ones. My wife went
to Chicago, right?
My wife went to business school out there. There's two big ones that compete with each other. I can't remember. It's Lou Malnati's and then another one. Oh, Giordano's.
Ross.
But I'm telling you, is that do we consider that? Have you guys ever had it? Joe, have you ever had it?
No.
I've had it.
Yes, I've had it.
Okay, do we consider that pizza?
Not really.
It's like a casserole. It's like 6 inches. I mean, it is so thick. That I it's barely even consider it.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
pizza. Thick.
Oh, no, I'm exaggerating.
It comes in like,
no,
a, comes in like a pan. Like, you know, like
it's
a,
at least 2.5, 3 inches
What's the name of the... It's
deep dish pizza, Chicago deep dish pizza.
Lou Malnati's or Giordano's. It's delicious.
Lou Malnati's is 6 inches
Yeah,
Lou
Malnati's is 6 inches It's the style, yeah.
Wow, I got to try it.
It's pretty good.
John's taking tomorrow
off. It's really good, but it's
amazing.
Like...
amazing.
John,
I didn't realize it was 6 inches
deep. I can have like one or two slices and that's
it. No, I'm exaggerating. It's not quite 6 inches, but it's probably
like three inches, yeah. I would guess.
And I'm just
yeah.
telling you, my wife, when I retired from football, she went to business school out there at Northwestern, so we would eat this stuff all the time. It's like you lift up one slice, it's like a brick.
Yep.
And if you have two of them, you pass out. Like, it's like you take a nap. I mean, these things are thick, man. They're deep. That's my deep of the day.
It's really good.
All right, Ross, stay well, pal. Always awesome having you on the program. Thank you, Ross.
All right, see you guys.
Great day yesterday in Philly sports. Goddard is retained, and the Phillies win. And I think there's a real feeling of positivity with the Phillies, more so than there's been in about 4 or 5 weeks now, which is really, really good to see. Hope you're having a great start to your Thursday morning. By the way, this morning is a unique one as the world of golf comes to our backyard today. So the PGA Tour in town for the next couple days at the Philadelphia Cricket Club. $100 to whatever listener can get Rory McIlroy to call into our show. You got till 10 o'clock today or tomorrow from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Rhea, will $100 get it done with someone to get Rory to call in?
No.
Probably not, but you never know.
You always got to take a shot.
There might be a caddy listening right now at that golf course.
He's tight with Rory?
Yeah. He's like, you know what? I got a little inside access to his guy and his guy and his guy and get to Rory. Rory! First off, if you're supposed to be golfing right now, wake up if you're still sleeping. Second thing, call our show. We'd love to hear from you. All right. We'd also love to hang out with you. Really, I think, very cool thing that the Phillies do on an annual basis. They're fantastic auction. They raise a lot of money, obviously, for really important causes. And this year, the Phillies Fantastic Auction benefits the ALS, United Mid-Atlantic, and also Phillies Charity. So they're doing great work. And you can get involved in this. First off, let me say this. 68 different items available for bidding for the next week and a half. This goes through May 18th. So through May 18th at 9 p.m. that night, you can see all the items, the 68 items at phillies.com/fantastic auction. There is one item that relates to our show. And
it's going to be a rager.
The item with us?
I think so.
I mean, I'm ready to get down.
You better like up your game. You know,
I mean, if it's during the week...
Yeah, you're not a big rage during the week guy.
I don't tip him back during the week. Now, if it's weekend,
I'll tip him back anytime.
Yeah, I know you will. So here's how you can get involved with our show and our thing, and we hope to see you. So that one of the items is for four people, you and three guests, to get four tickets to a Phillies game. At that game, you get a behind-the-scenes tour of Citizens Bank Park way before the game. So I'll tour Citizens Bank Park. You then head down to watch batting practice from behind home plate. So Bryce Harper, Schwarber, batting practice right in front of you. You're
so cool.
You're right there.
Man.
It's like
right?
a life. That's like a bucket list thing in and of itself.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I'm standing behind the fence, like the little fence, the cage, right behind the cage.
And look, last year,
next to whoever wins this bid,
correct.
We're going to be standing right there. Like
correct.
I can reach out and almost touch the batter.
Yeah, you might. You might get removed from the premises
I would say
if you do
don't
that.
Do that.
Yes. Yeah. Don't try
unless it. Unless it's the other team.
Oh, well, like that.
And then injure the guy, knock him out for the
you
game.
You can certainly heckle them.
All right, so
Juan Soto injured by local radio host.
All right, so you get batting practice. Then you're going to head to the CP Ranking Club where we're going to be hanging out and having dinner with you. So we look forward to that. And then, of course, you settle in for the game and you got four seats in the front row. Oh, and by the way, the Phillies will flip you an autographed baseball of whichever Phillies player you want on the current team. That's a great item. Get bidding on this and all of the items at phillies.com/fantastic auction. Again, it's all for a great cause, and we hope that you're able to bid generously, and let's get that price
so
up.
So they're actually going to flip from the dugout the ball that's signed by the player that you
You took the flip literally, huh?
Yeah.
Sounds pretty cool.
Kind of like when, who was it the other day? Stott threw a bad flip to Trey. People were blaming Trey for not turning that double play. Not a good flip for
Bryson Stott is an unbelievable leadoff. He is an unbelievable
leadoff. He's done a nice job.
Leadoff.
Well, the big case, he's
just shrewd.
He's bounced back from last year.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
Well, okay, last year he was unable to do what he wanted to be able to do.
Like, I agree.
He knew how to do it better. He just couldn't physically accomplish
it. It puts last year in greater perspective.
It's great to see.
Yeah. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here this hour. We're also going to have some fun with Drop of the Week and more. Jordan right now at Princeton. Good morning, Jordan.
What a great day to wake up as a Philadelphia sports fan, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen?
Jordan, can you get us Rory McIlroy on the show?
You know, I've watched him play in the PGA Championship, and I saw him at the Masters a few years ago, but unfortunately, I do not have that kind of pull. Yelling mashed potatoes after he makes contact with the ball does not ingrain you with a relationship to a PGA Tour player.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. That's it is funny. I don't know why mashed potatoes became the thing.
I've always wondered it. It's such a weird thing. I've always wondered.
And Jordan, I'll say this for everyone that's going to over the next 4 days, the tour.
The tourist, yeah.
I know because I stink at golf, I think of this and those guys are the best of the best, but I'm just amazed that a fan never gets smoked off the tee when they're standing right in the tunnel way.
But not one bad hit. You know what I mean? Joe, I'm with you.
Because all it takes is one shank and you can, like, kill somebody.
Literally. Yeah.
And they stand right. Like, I would not stand there. I would be afraid, but I'm a wuss. So, what are you going to do?
I am a fearful person.
I am a fearful person.
So, the riding of a roller coaster.
Yeah, I don't do it.
Will you consider it?
I like Space Mountain because it was dark and I couldn't say.
Man, so do you plan on ever riding a roller coaster?
I'm a turn the lights off kind of guy.
Oh, I see what you did.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
Do you plan on ever riding a roller coaster?
That was a good idea,
right?
Oh, dear. Not really. All right, Jordan, what do you got on the fighting Phils, man?
That's lame.
Fighting back.
I got to congratulate you, Joe. You successfully diverted everyone's attention away from your love of McDonald's with the crabbling weenie from the strip club. And that reminded me of a Seinfeld bit where George is sitting with his mother and he goes, they have lobster on the menu. Today's the day. Someone's going to order a lobster. So you made their day by ordering that crabbling weenie. So good for you there.
Well, chef was like, wait, we have that on the menu?
Oh,
okay.
There's a chef? The chef is like, wait, there's a chef?
John, it's good food. Just trust me, it's good food. Yeah.
Hey, who of us haven't availed ourselves of a strip club lunch buffet at some point?
That's a whole other thing.
American man.
Dude,
I'm not.
That's a tempting one because they're often free. And it's like, what are you to do? Seltzer, what are you to do? You get a free meal.
I'll pay somewhere else. I'll be fine with it.
I would skip the strip club buffet.
All right, Jordan, you pumped up on the Phils,
man? I might consider the crabs over the buffet.
Jordan, are you pumped up?
I am beyond pumped up on the Phils. And you know how you can tell when someone's not a real baseball fan? When they complain about the length of the season. To me, the beauty of baseball is the length of the season. And unlike last year where we started out hot and went to London and lost all of our steam, I'm watching a team that's slowly building confidence as they figure out this new identity. Some aging bodies, a couple of new pieces in there. And I'm really watching them figure it out. And last night, this couldn't have been a more perfect baseball game.
Yeah, they played great. They played a great game last night. They really did.
Even when we were complaining about them during that tough two-week stretch, they were never below 500. So I think this is a really strong team, and I think that as they continue to progress and figure it out, a couple of the pieces come into place. But I got to tell you, not only having Taiwan in the bullpen as our middle reliever guy, I mean, to have a guy who actually can go two or three innings, we really don't have that right now. Lost Hoffman, nor that middle stretch guy. So it's great to have him there. I'm even more pleased that Topper didn't pull him because we know how much he likes to pull pitchers before they're ready
to go.
But
Jordan, just, you know, that was also intentional because they're trying to keep him stretched out because Rob Thompson even said after the game, they may go to a 6-man rotation and they're trying to keep Taiwan stretched out. So that was strategic, but also effective. All right, give me an answer. Who or what is deep?
This is going to be a John Ritchie answer. the Kola Super Deep Borehole was a science experiment in Russia. It is the deepest man-made hole on the planet, going 40,000 feet into the earth.
Whoa!
It's deeper than the Mariana Trench, and it's taller than Mount Everest.
So wow. What did they do that for?
Good question.
Wait. Get to the center of the earth, obviously.
Trying to look into the
core? Are they trying to see if they can get through the other side?
To America, the old joke, they're trying to figure it out.
It's one of those things I would just advise humans not to do.
Yeah. Joe,
just don't mess with
Joe,
the
I'm
earth.
Right there with you, dude. Just, like, do we really need to dig
deep?
You're
gonna hit the wrong thing.
You just dug the whole way down to like the.
We go off our orbit, and the next thing you know, we fly out to Mars, and everybody
dies.
That's
how science works.
How far down did he say
40,000?
40,000.
Don't do that.
So you dug down to like the magma. Like, is it now boiling up out of that hole that you just dug to the other side of the earth?
You dug 10,000 feet deeper than planes fly in the sky.
I'll say this. Yeah. I don't know if I believe it.
10,000 feet deeper than Everest is tall.
Yeah, I don't know. That's wild. Hey, great job by the Phils last night. One of the more impressive wins of the year. Sanchez was the main star because as a starting pitcher, he did what you want him to do. Give up no runs, 6 innings. Taiwan, another star, you know, in 3 innings. But the bats really came alive. By the way, this is the 7th time in 10 games that the Phillies have scored 7 or more runs. That's very impressive. That's really stringing it together. The 4th inning was the big inning. So Trey got it going early for the Phillies with a home run. But then in the 4th inning, the Phillies really cranked it up. Let's listen as it was Rojas that had the first RBI.
Baez ready, and the pitch. He's showing bunt, pushes it back towards the pitcher. Baez has it, flips to the plate, and they don't get the out. Glove hand flip by Shane Baez, but JT will score. And Johan Rojas gets the bunt down in the RBI, and it's a 2-0 Phillies lead.
The exceedingly rare RBI bunt by a player.
I mean, that was an awesome bunt.
It was really cool, man.
Didn't even try to make the throw on that bunt.
It was great. It was great. All right, so short time later, it was Stott that tacked on another.
2 on, 1 out, the pitch. Swing and a ground ball the other way. That's going to be through for a base hit into left. Bohm coming around third. He'll be waved to the plate. The throw will go to third. Nobody's there to cover. Rojas is there safely. Caminero has to dive to make sure it doesn't go into the dugout. It's an RBI single for Bryson Stott, and it's a 3-0 Phillies lead.
This is one of those fun innings because they just kind of kept advancing and hitting and moving and hitting, and then Trey got it going more.
Now Turner, who homered his last time up, he punches one through the right side for a base hit. In to score is Rojas. Stott will stop at second, and Trey Turner with his second hit of the night. And it's 4-0 Phillies.
And then the guy who, of course, I think we all hope is the main guy because he's certainly supposed to be. Schwarber's been their best hitter this year, but Bryce is supposed to be their best. And Bryce had a hit. It was still sort of early. It's 4th inning. But you kind of felt at this point, Phillies are going to hold on to win this game.
Long set and the pitch. Swung on, line to left center field, a base hit towards the alley, and it's rolling all the way to the track. In to score is Stott. Turner coming around third. He's being waved home. The relay is not in time. A 2-run double for Bryce Harper, and the Phillies breaking it wide open. They lead it 6-0 here in the 4th.
Very impressive by the Phillies last night. Very, very good. And really, for me, the first time since the first week of the season, I feel truly pumped up. Last couple weeks, you know, 2 weeks, encouraged. Now I'm past encouraged. Now I'm excited, and that's a good feeling. Let's get to John calling from Doylestown. John, good morning.
Good morning, Joe, and hi, John, James, and Rhea.
Hi, John.
I wanted to comment on you, John, real quick about the Egyptians. It's because of the hieroglyphics that we know through millennia that 9% of the population is left-handed.
No way.
I thought I would comment on that. But,
wow.
You know, I wanted to talk about the Philly team. Number one, Goddard. I'll take him for 12 games a year. He is one of the most aggressive tight ends after the catch in the league.
Why just for 12?
Highlights.
John.
Never played 17, he's saying. He's saying he's okay with the right. Even if he misses games.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Yep. It's such a shame. I really do feel like if that were different, if that bottom line, if that 12 were more like 15 in the Eagles' minds, we'd be talking about a $20 million a year tight end for the next 4 years.
Well, when you take the Joe Banner scenario of anybody over 30, you get rid of them. You know, hopefully that Goddard can stay healthy. But yeah. I wanted to talk about the Philly team. Number one, great for the Eagles and great for the Phillies. I'm praying for the Flyers. I don't know what they're doing. And as far as the...
Well, I tell you what they've been doing. They've been playing possum. And the question, and it is similar to when Hinkie was playing possum with the Sixers, the question is, when are they going to emerge and try to win? And try to win, I define it as two things. One, you bring in players from the outside that you actually have to pay. It's like when the Sixers actually paid J.J. Redick. It's like, all right, I think they're actually trying to win now. It's like when the Phillies initially got Arrieta, and they didn't win, but they got Arrieta, and they got that first baseman. What was that guy's name? The guy that batted
Carlos,
like,
Santana?
That guy. About?
Sure.
They gave him money. It's like, all right.
The guy who took the TV to the bat, yes. The bat to the TV. Yeah.
So, John, I liked Carlos.
Well, but here's
the plan. Smash the TV. Playing. Everyone was playing games.
But, John,
on.
The point is, I'm waiting for the Flyers to make a signing that signifies, all right, they're trying to win. The other thing, of course,
it's a good
is,
example, Joe.
Right?
Yeah, it is.
And the other thing is, stop trading players away at the trade deadline. Now, listen.
Yeah, I'm done with that.
It's been strategic, and it better pay off, because two times they had a chance to make the playoffs and dumped, like, a bunch of guys. So... Oh, by the way, Jonesy is going to be in studio. When is it, Ray? Is it next week?
The 20th. Tuesday the 20th.
So we're going to...
So a week from Tuesday. Or no, I'm sorry, 2 weeks from Tuesday.
Yeah, so in 2 weeks from now, basically. So was that 12 days from now?
Yeah, 12 days from now.
So we'll get more answers, John, but we're all... Look, we know at some point they're going to turn the corner, but patience is wearing thin on waiting.
Well, I wanted to comment on the Sixers. I haven't watched the Sixers since they lost to Toronto in 19.
Wow.
I'm just so fed up with the NBA... You know, a la the 60, count them, 60 three-pointers by the Celtics in the first game. I mean, it's not, as this one guy who I know, it's a great story, Joe, since you're a basketball guy, I'll be real quick. He's the assistant coach of development for the Knicks. My friend coached him in Ireland in the 80s. I watched him coach my friend's team at Georgetown in the 90s. He is the best shooter in the world.
Wait, you're saying he played for the Hoyas in the 90s?
No. Oh, he was there during practice showing the girls how to shoot.
Gotcha.
And specifically from the foul line. His name is Dave Hopla. He was always hired by the best players, Jordan and Barkley. Yeah, I'll meet you in Japan for 10 grand for the weekend. He has all these records, but he's writing a book, Dave Hopla. You have to look him up. Okay. And it's called Not Basketball Anymore. And I just thought of you because... It really is a shame. I mean, the three-point shot to me.
It is. Tatum took one where it could have been a wide-open dunk for Al Horford. He took a shot and missed it. I will tell you this, though, John, because I agree with your point for the most part, but the NBA playoffs have been really exciting the last 3 weeks, and it's a reminder of how great, even with the ridiculous three-point shooting propensity, how great basketball can be when players play and try hard.
When tough players play. And play tough. I mean, I do think that the Knicks are bringing toughness back to the NBA in a lot of cases. I love watching them.
I enjoy watching them, too. But here's the other thing. It's wide open.
Awesome compared to, like, I know we like greatness, but our whole lives, practically. We knew who was going to win.
John, here's what's it's funny that you brought up that Sixers-Raptors series, because I thought of it last night, and I texted a friend about it yesterday. So, I don't know if you know this, John. There has been a different NBA champion every year since 2019. I mean, you can say since 18 when the Warriors won that one, but I'm going 19 because then the Warriors came back in 21. So, since 2019, different champion every year. Now, what am I getting at? Think about if I told you in 2019, when the Sixers had all that young talent, all those picks, and all that cap space.
Oh, God.
That there's going to be a different NBA champion for the next 6 years. By the way, first time since the 70s, different team since before Bird and Magic.
That's what I'm saying, our whole life.
And this is even longer than that. If I told you 6 years ago, six different teams are going to win the next six titles, you'd put good money on the Sixers being one of them.
Yeah,
right?
Man,
I mean,
probably,
you would have.
Probably.
You really would have.
Yeah.
So, anyway, John, I'm kind of encouraging you to try to watch some of it because it's been good, but I get your point. Give me an answer. Who or what is deep?
The movie... Actually, it's more dark than deep, but the movie Seven.
You know what? You're not wrong. I mean, I got no problem with that answer, John. What do you think of that as a?
Sure.
It is more dark than deep, but it's got. Here's why it's deep, because of the seven sins,
like the whole killing, the way the killer kills, the method, the thought behind it. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a great answer. All right, up ahead in 1 minute, drop of the week. We normally do it on Friday. We're moving it up today because James is off tomorrow. And we got some great stuff up ahead in 1 minute.
Mother's Day. It's time to honor the moms in our lives, the ones who gave you unconditional love on your worst days. And those women who hold your home together, mom to your children, and she's your best friend too. Now it's your turn to give back with the timeless gift from Benari Jewelers. Benari Jewelers at Exton and Newtown Square is your destination for timeless, beautiful, and meaningful gifts for all those we call mom. Show your love and gratitude with classic diamond earrings, a stunning diamond bracelet, an elegant diamond pendant, or the perfect forever symbol of your gratitude, a sophisticated diamond eternity band. Or browse Benari's extensive collection of famed designer David Yurman with the largest selection of David Yurman in all of Greater Philadelphia, from cable and chain bracelets to pendants with eye-catching precious colored stones. Whatever you choose, Benari promises exceptional quality and uncompromising craftsmanship, just what mom deserves. Benari Jewelers, Exton and Newtown Square.
All right, so Twitter poll question of the day, speaking of the NBA playoffs, brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Poll question, who would you rather see win this series going on, the Celtics or the Knicks? Two classic Sixers and, if you will, sort of Philadelphia sports rivals, New York and Boston. Who would you rather see win the series, Celtics or Knicks? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. By the way, Rhea, true or false? I think the answer is true, but give me your answer on this. The Celtics rivalry at its height was more, there was more rival intensity to it than the Eagles-Cowboys at its height. True or false?
I would, at its height? Yeah, because they were both good.
Yeah.
I think so,
too. I think
too.
That's the difference.
I do, too.
They're both competing for titles, and that doesn't happen with
in
Dallas
the 60s and in the 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Wilt and Russell, and you had Doc and Bird. I mean, they literally had their hands around each other's throat.
I mean, Danny Ainge had a punchable face.
Great story.
Literally had their hands.
I got to get this in real quick, and then we're getting a drop of the week. I heard Robert Parrish talking recently. So for those that don't know, if you're
Chief.
On the— Chief, if you're on the younger side, Dr. J and...
How old is he now?
Well, probably
like 60 or something,
So Dr. J and Larry Bird squared off in 1984 in a very famous fight. And the first two guys on the scene, this gave Doc a tremendous advantage, were Moses Malone and Charles Barkley.
Oh, yeah.
They were holding Larry Bird's arm so he couldn't throw a punch, and Doc's just wailing away. It was like 3-on-1 for a little bit there. Robert Parrish said recently he did not get in on the action. Because he was annoyed that day at Larry Bird. He thought Larry Bird had done him dirty, not supporting him in a contract negotiation. And so he didn't get in there.
That's amazing.
Isn't that great?
That is tremendous.
I can't believe it took 40 years for that to come out, too.
How awesome is that? All right, job for the week. We normally do it on Friday. James is off tomorrow. We did some earlier today. We got another batch right now over, frankly, a couple weeks. Let's crank it up.
Hallelujah.
It's the drop.
Krzyzewski
of the week.
It's funny the stuff you hear years later sometimes. It really is. No,
well that it was like the very first drop on our show. It was number 1.
I'll give you a years later thing. Now maybe this was known in 08. I don't know, but I've heard this in subsequent years. When that game 5 borderline fiasco of the Phillies World Series with the Rays went down and the rain thing, and like, are the Phillies going to win the World Series and a rain delay? And like, because technically they had claim. If the Rays hadn't scored that run, Phillies could have had claim because there was no rule to say the game wouldn't have counted. Fox was like, hell no. Fox was telling Major League Baseball, you're not removing our right to broadcast the games and claiming the World Series
is
over.
They were right. Too.
I'm just telling you. I mean, it was.
No, I know. I'm just saying. Like, imagine if the World Series ended like that. Yeah, we've talked about it. Yeah, the hypothetical.
It blew my mind that they ever started that game.
Well, that's one way to look at it. I'll say this. It blew my mind that with the World Series having started in 1903 and this was 2008, never had a rule in place.
Yeah, it's a great point, Joe.
I mean, how do you have 106 years of playoff baseball and no one comes up with...
I have the answer.
Great point.
I have the answer, Joe.
What?
That's baseball.
That's baseball. That's right. All right, Seltzer, what are we looking at today?
All right, let's dive in. You gave us one of these. Always a classic when you do it.
I'm such a dummy.
Nice way to start off the second Fair edition enough. Job of the week. Yeah. Fair enough. All right, let's get into some good stuff here. Brandon Graham.
Oh, man.
Talked at length. Obviously, BG Live, you got to do that. We got some taste of that. Here's BG talking on the bench. This is after he made the strip sack. This is what went through his mind.
When I sat down on the bench after all the hoopla and everybody was going crazy, I just remember sitting on the bench looking up at the score. I mean, at the, you know, just at the
clock.
Clock and just like, man, I stripped Brady.
How cool is that, man?
That's really good stuff.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
The biggest play in the history of the franchise.
Yeah.
That doesn't go away. I mean, that can you imagine what that would be like forever? I mean, it does feel like you'd pinch yourself and that would vanish.
It's amazing.
What you did, it's just
beyond amazing.
Wow.
And the fact that the Eagles, the two times they've won Super Bowl.
Totally.
Brady and Mahomes, and that both were rematches.
Revenges, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really I also neat. Like when they won in 60, it's against Lombardi and Bart Starr. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
No, it is.
That's good work.
Yeah. All right, let's keep it rolling. The moment that Jeffrey Lurie comes back after 31 years to WIP, we're going to play it and drop it.
Well, let's talk to the owner of the Eagles, obviously one of the most important figures in the history of Philadelphia sports, the owner of the Birds, Jeffrey Lurie. Jeffrey, good morning to you, and welcome to BG Day here on WIP.
Good morning. Hi, everybody. Pleasure to be on, and BG, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Still surreal. Like, it's so cool that Lurie was actually on the show.
Yeah, if you missed that hour, later today, check it out. It's available on our podcast and the YouTube show that's up there from a couple days ago. We had a stretch of about an hour with Brandon Graham and Kelsey in studio, and we had a stretch of about 15 minutes with Brandon Graham, Kelsey in studio with Jeffrey Lurie on the phone. That was a power hour.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Couple tastes of it. Here's a funny moment when John tried his best to call him Jeffrey.
It was really heartwarming.
Unbelievable. And Jeffrey, Mr. Lurie,
He tried there.
So you just felt it would be disrespectful, John.
He just deserves... Yeah.
He threw money in your pocket.
He deserves Mr. Right. Lurie.
He did kind of...
John has a unique relationship compared to us there, yeah.
That's great. Ray, was there anything more nuts than Larry Brown being like 5 years younger than Ed Snyder calling him Mr. Snyder?
Didn't he call him Mr. Baldwin first?
Oh, I don't remember that. Larry Brown. I love you, man. I do love you. We got to get Larry Brown on the show someday, but it's like... You're 5 years younger than Ed Snyder. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's a little...
But it was a sign of respect.
Well, you know Mike Angelina's thing, right?
What?
Mike Angelina calls every coach and to us, like around, like when, like he'll like text me, he'll be like, oh, what time do you guys have Coach Sirianni on?
That's bizarre.
It's weird.
That's
but he
weird.
It's his thing. He does it. Mr. Lurie, the whole thing. All right, let's keep it rolling.
Yep.
Jeffrey Lurie, a bit of a shock at the end of the interview. This was for John.
Quick message for John. I miss you. But also, you know what?
Too.
We're gonna try to quietly resurrect the fullback position. Kevin Turner, yourself, maybe Ben can do some things here. We're gonna try for it. How's that?
Thank you.
You know what I thought of after that? Sirianni probably call Lurie to his office and say, yo, owner guy, don't spill the beans.
You know we never give anything away. What are we doing here?
Yo, owner guy.
What are you doing here? What are you doing? I got to be discreet. Come on.
All right, let's keep it rolling. Classic in drop of the weeks of years past. Joe doesn't know. In this case, it's pomegranate.
Again, I doubt you've ever had pomegranate.
No, I don't even know what it is.
It is. Oh, you don't know
when
what it is?
When you just said it is, I didn't know if you bought a table. I didn't know what a pomegranate
is.
I don't know what it is.
Stop, John.
You really don't know what a pomegranate is?
I had no idea that's food.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what it is.
Oh, my God.
What do I care about a pomegranate?
You really, like, never heard of a pomegranate.
I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is. Like, you could give
Will
me...
Will you try it?
Probably not. If you put three things in front of me and said which is a pomegranate, I would have to take a guess.
Pomegranate.
I would
not... Pommel.
What's it called?
You keep calling it
pomegranate.
Pomegranate.
Yeah.
I would never
There's
know.
No L. Like,
they
not
were
like
big
a pommel
when
horse.
We were kids. We used to eat them all the time.
They're fruit. Piece of fruit.
It's my favorite fruit. It's so good.
I'm like Usain
really
Bolt going
you.
Through the fruit aisle. I move real fast. All right.
You know, that could be part of your problem.
That was a great line.
This could be helping your... regularity.
I'm improving though, John. I really am.
But I'm saying fruit and vegetables really do help everything.
Yeah.
You know.
Fiber.
Yeah.
Fiber.
Yeah.
That's a important. Good call. You're
right. Let's keep it rolling.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I don't know if you like...
No, John cared about me. There.
I thought you were saying thank you for really moving on. And I was like, I don't know if you're going to love what we move on to because you said this.
I mean, I feel like at certain points there should be a specific time, but at the actual tip, you know, I don't know what to say, man. You know? I mean, I could say just the tip, but I won't.
You did. I love when you do a good, I'm not going to say it, but I'm absolutely going to say it.
You just can't resist.
No.
I just didn't know
and
what to
do. And he knows going in.
No, well, you kind of stumble into these things.
Oh, come on.
Speaking of stumbling,
what?
How about this one? This is a bit of an extended cut. I think it's going to win if I had to predict here because Devin.
Oh, well, this is going to win.
She stepped in it yesterday.
This is going to win.
Here's what happened.
Right? Can I ask a dumb question regarding Richie's answer?
It is absolutely a children's movie, yes. Go ahead, Devin.
It is. Do dinosaurs classify as animals?
Yeah.
Yes.
They do?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, boy.
But are you sure about that? Oh, here we go. Are you sure about that?
What else would they be?
Because animals could be like mammals. They could be like, we don't know. I don't know.
No, keep going.
I have more thoughts on this.
No, I think we should work this out.
Yeah.
Let's think about what
they
might be.
Because they're like a different era of the earth than when the animals that we know were born.
Yeah. So what
created?
What
could they be?
What would like a woolly mammoth be?
That's a mammal. But they came after the dinosaurs.
True. Very true.
So you'd say that's not an animal?
Extinct animals aren't animals.
A woolly mammoth is a mammal.
So not an animal because it's a mammal.
No, it is an animal.
Is a bug an animal?
Is a bug an animal?
No, that's an insect.
Yes, it is. It's not a mammal though.
Yeah. What?
She was just lost there at the end.
It's an all-timer.
A bug is an animal, in case anyone's wondering.
It's an all-timer.
How about Joe getting in on the pile-on?
Was that fun? You must have loved
animals.
I haven't ever been able to do that. Really enjoyed it.
You have to be part of the team.
He's got it all sorted out in his head. He knows what is an animal.
Honestly, credit to Joe. Joe was like all over that time.
It was stunning.
That James cut out where I tried to help her.
You really did.
I did. I did.
You did. Really?
I don't want people to think I was leaving her hanging out the dry.
Yeah, no one was trying to help.
I just want to point out I tried.
You really did.
And after a while, there's
no helping. That's exactly what I was about to say.
I will say this. I think it's got a great chance to be in the running for drop of the year.
I agree.
It's of that ilk.
By the way, just as a shout out, I have to bring this up because last night at my event, I was about to do an Eagles chant and I was about to start it and a guy just goes, in the crowd. And I was like, is that because of Devin? And he goes, yeah, man. I was like, that's awesome. You rule. She's making an impact.
All right. So Devin's dinosaur not being an animal thing advances to the finals.
I do have a couple more. Do you want to play them or no? Well, I mean, how about just one?
Give me your best one.
You said this. Got to play that if I get it. I just have to. Sorry.
I appreciate the awful response by the person.
Caller's like, ugh. Yeah.
All right, so Devin's dinosaur animal thing has to beat my strip club thing, although both 100%. Were pretty good. But
Devin wins by miles. Yes,
Devin's already in the semifinals for drop of the year.
I didn't put her in the finals, man.
She's in it. I mean, you know.
Hey, we need to like just pull her aside and maybe put an arm around her and be like, "Hey, Devin, the next time you think about, hey, stop the presses, guys. Let's probe deeply."
Yeah.
We should let her probe.
I encourage this kind of.
The funniest part, she was dead serious. She's like, we're like, is a dinosaur an animal? And we're like, yes. All three of us go yes. And she goes, but are you sure?
Yeah. Well, James, you had the best line. The best line was when you said, is an extinct animal not an animal?
I know.
That was strong.
But I think it actually might have given Devin pause for a moment there. Like
she was shocked.
She was shocked.
She was like a boxer on the ropes, like just trying to hang on.
Perfect analogy
for the end of the round. Like, please, someone ring the bell.
Bell, please.
End the round. End the round. Let's go to Dave in Wilmington. Maybe he's on the school bus. What up, Dave?
Well, I'm back in the bus up. That's the beeping in the background right now.
Man, that is. It really sounds. That's a pretty chime that you've got for your
It's
reverse.
A pretty chime.
It'll help us if you drive forward.
It would be better for the whole radio.
That's a lot of backing, man. Yeah. It's got a big back.
Holy mackerel.
Still going.
All right,
we did it.
We good, Dave?
Come on. Yeah, I'm good.
How
it seems like you have bad timing today, taking Dave's calls.
I still can't believe this is legal, but go ahead. What do you got?
First of all, coming to the States, gentlemen, at this time is crab linguine. Make sure you have your ones out for it. I need to know, how was that crab linguine from a strip club?
Always good.
When you say always good, how many times does always
couple,
mean?
Couple.
Are you serious?
Let's not run wild. So that was the only time at takeout, though.
This is a constant thing that you're doing. It's not
no, dude, this was years ago, all right?
A constant
I had
thing,
my 20s.
Dave.
I had
like
my
weekly,
30s.
Bi-weekly, what is it?
Okay, settle down, all
does
right?
Does Amy know about this constant thing you have going
not
on?
Not constant, long time ago. Get me out of this.
No, so you're like that.
Or an Italian restaurant to get linguine.
A constant stream of crab linguine.
It is one of my. That and tacos are probably. That and shepherd's pie, my three favorites.
Crab linguine?
Just not specifically the strip club version or just period?
What kind of tacos?
Steak.
What do you mean? Okay. Like, what kind of taco? Like a. Hard shell.
I'm more of a hard. I'm more of a hard shell, but you can go either way.
Man, you
I
are
the
boring. You are the most boring
Joe,
eater. On
don't
the
let
planet.
Him give you crap. Hard shells are great.
The crunch.
They're underrated. Everyone's all soft shell these days. Like enough. Hard shell's fantastic.
Hard shell's really good.
Like
I'm with you, buddy.
Hamburger beef with Tio Sancho seasoning.
Yeah, you know
right?
what? It's a classic for a reason. How about that?
I agree.
Like in the school lunch.
Look, I like all tacos.
Can,
don't get me wrong.
Do
I'll
so
do shrimp and whatever. But I'm with you, Joe. It tastes good.
Thank you.
It does taste good.
Dave,
you
what
could
do you
do better?
What do you got on this Dallas Goedert thing, man? What great news yesterday?
Well, what else can Howie do that proves that he's not the best GM of all time? You convince somebody who wants more money to take less money.
The league kind of convinced him also, though, because he wasn't getting. I mean, they had the chance to talk to other teams and explore trades and. You know, the league kind of spoke also. I'm not trying to devalue what Howie did, but we, Eagles fans, value Goddard more than the league does. That's a fact.
But he convinced them to stay on and make less money than just cutting
him. He just might not have another option there, Dave. The point is that it was like make less money or get cut and get a smaller contract on the market.
Yeah, you're
you know?
Missing the word leverage, which Howie had more leverage than you would have thought. Dave, give me an answer. Who or what is deep?
Well, a very deep person in a very small packet. Luminous beings are we, not this crew matter. Yoda.
Oh, Yoda is deep.
His way of talking is deep.
Yeah, extremely and what deep. He's saying, too.
Yeah,
I agree. Did he just with that. Say, luminous beings are we?
I didn't know Yoda said that.
He might have made that up.
I think, was Dave talking
in
like,
Yoda?
He was saying a profundity as Yoda.
I agree with that. I think that's right. Maybe Yoda said it. I don't remember.
He did say level it. By Yoda, Dave. Yoda did say it.
Okay. Well,
it told Luke, apparently.
It doesn't count if it was in The Mandalorian. So if you're saying it was...
No, in Star Wars.
Fair enough.
I'm just Googled it. I
Which
don't know.
Star Wars?
It's... hold on.
Oh, for the love
of
God.
Yeah, who cares?
Who gives a rat's
he
ass?
Said it. He